Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wendy Lesishi.
And I'm George Meany.
And we're actually supposed to record this, I don't know if you heard, but we were supposed to record this 2 days ago. But then I got a throat infection.
Yeah, I believe you got sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad. You should have heard my voice. We should have just recorded anyways and
were
see.
Were you husky?
No, I was husky, but I was like, it wouldn't even come out. Like, it was just like really quiet.
So I'd have been talking to myself.
You would have been talking to yourself. I think somebody said we'll just have the show with speech bubbles.
Sounds like Verstappen.
He just by himself. anyway, so today we have a super interesting episode today. We're talking about mobility as a service. So we're going to get into exactly what mobility as a service is. Talk about some car subscriptions and some of the things that are really interesting in the market right now. And then we have some questions from Ask Auto Trader. So hopefully you can come and assist us by answering some of the questions that have come through.
Before we get there, what did you think of the race? Monaco.
The best Monaco race I've seen in at least 10 years.
Why? Because it was changes in weather.
Yeah, so Monaco, I mean, that's a big thing, right? So I think that was the big differentiator between some of the races that we've seen previously. Mm. I mean, firstly, it's Monaco, so really, truly
it's
challenging,
iconic.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful, and then it rained as well midway through, so I mean, that changed up everything. The strategies all changed. So I was really...
Well, I mean, not really, because Verstappen still won.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I mean, how did you see... who was it? Alex Albon?
Yeah. No, it was Esteban Ocon.
Sorry, Esteban Ocon. Yeah. Sorry. Esteban Ocon's qualifying lap.
So just before he... When he was still number one at the time.
Yeah.
Firstly, I didn't see it coming. And I wish they showed us the actual onboard. Lap. Yeah. But I mean, what a shock, what a surprise to see that it's not just, you know, kind of the front runners who actually have a chance of winning.
Well, I think he's not in the ideal car.
No.
He's in a midfield car.
Yeah.
And he put in a lap like that. That's proper driver skill.
You know what was more impressive for me was seeing Verstappen being down in the first two sectors and pulling that incredible third sector.
But did you see
everything you need to know about him?
Did you see how he took that one corner and how he like just touched the barrier?
It's basically touching it, right? Yeah. So it wasn't even.
Well, it was because he looked at the scratches on the rubber after
driving
to
the very edge.
It's on the edge.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best Monaco weekends we've had in a long time.
Did you see they got this technology now that from cameras that can use an algorithm? Mm-hmm. And the AI tells more or less how close the car is to the barrier.
Really? Yeah. I didn't see that, no.
Yeah. So, well, I read it about it on their website. I didn't see it in the race. I don't know if it's coming in another race. But they've got this tech now that they can tell how close the car is to the barrier.
How much closer can they get? I mean, they, you know, in some time, well, I mean, they're touching.
Yes. So when they're like literally one millimeter from the barrier, it probably gains them, what, you know, thousandths of a second or something.
What are you going to tell the driver, though? Get closer.
Well, no. It's like Ayrton Senna. I think Ayrton Senna was asked once, how do you do this?
Yeah.
Like, how are you so fast? And I think it's what's called a state of flow.
Mm.
You know, if I don't know if you've ever experienced a state of flow. It's when you almost like get tunnel vision in terms of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Athletes often get into a state of flow. That's how they perform so well. And you know, you can't logically predict or, you know, so he says he would be turning the steering wheel, but he wouldn't be pre-thinking turning the steering
wheel.
It's just instinct.
Intuitive, yeah.
Yeah. And that's when you're in that state of flow. And he seemed to be able to get there quite easily.
Hamilton's actually spoken about that a few times. He says that the faster he goes, literally things just go slowly.
Yeah. That's the state of flow. Yeah. Things slow down.
Exactly,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, I was wondering if that's like adrenaline or something, but you know.
No, it's hyper-focus.
Yeah.
Hyper focus. You're in the moment. I mean, the state of flow is the lack of, partly the lack of thinking about the past or the future. You're just right there, right now.
I need state of flow and I'm busy crunching the numbers. Because he's dead, lads.
I was speaking to one of our team members this morning who does the Comrades Marathons.
Yeah.
And he was speaking about the state of flow when he runs. And he says, you know, sometimes he just like runs and he's in the moment and, you know, he's doing his thing. But when you run the Comrades, he's not.
Yeah.
And from the banter back and forth, we established that maybe it's because every 1 kilometer or every half a kilometer in the comrades, they put a marker on the ground with a big sign that says 700,000 kilometers to go. He's like, oh, damn.
You're further away than you thought you were even. That's crazy, yeah. But, I mean, just to summarize, absolutely fantastic race. I think, you know, Mercedes came to the party with their new upgrades. Obviously, we can see much of it just because it is Monaco, but we'll see now. We're going to Spain, so that's going to be a really interesting battle.
Do you think they stole some stuff from the bottom of Verstappen's car?
We know for a fact that we looked at the car, we looked underneath and saw exactly how they did it.
Any more news on Hamilton going to Ferrari?
Right now, it looks like it's more unlikely than it is likely happening. Yeah, sadly, so for.
I reckon if the car gets into the sweet spot, yeah, he won't leave.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Why not?
Because, I mean, they're both brilliant drivers.
Mm. I think a few people are brilliant. Aston Martin, that is, you have to look out for them. I think...
Alonso.
We need to look out for them. Plus, they're getting a new engine next year. It'll be a problem for a while.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me with Aston Martin is the gap between the two drivers. Mm. You know, if both of them were up there on the podium or within a couple of places of each other, I'd say it's the car... Mm. Not as much the driver.
You're right. But Stroll was what, like 14th or something ridiculous.
Exactly, and it hasn't been any different since the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So the fact that Stroll is lagging.
Yeah.
In the same car.
Yeah. Tells you everything you need to know.
Is it? How much of the driver is it? I think it's a lot. It's got a lot to do with Lonzo.
Yeah.
And then a lot to do with how the driver gels with the car.
Mm. But I mean, Stroll's been in that car for years now. Alonso's new to the team, but he's been around. He knows that team. He knows the engineers. He knows the team knows how to engineer.
Maybe he just doesn't have the talent, and maybe he just doesn't have what it takes.
100%. But let's see what happens. Because
doesn't his dad own the team?
Dad does own the team, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Never a bad thing. I mean.
No, it's not a bad thing, but I mean, if you can't do it, you can't do it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's not helping anybody. Moving on. So that's F1 talk done. Mobility as a service. How would you kind of define that before we get into what we're talking about exactly?
Well, I think what fits into mobility as a service is anything outside the pure ownership of the asset or the car.
Yeah.
Okay. So mobility as a service, taxis fits into that category. Uber fits into that category. But I think what you want to get into is mobility as a service where there's a longer usage of the car.
Yeah. It's not a use case, but you're not like an Uber would be, I just need it right now, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like single ride.
Yeah.
Right.
Single ride, I think that's perfect.
Yes. So if you look at mobility on a spectrum between the shortest possible usage, Uber.
Yeah.
Okay.
One ride.
And the longest possible usage, outright ownership.
Mm.
Okay. You've got to realize, I think, that the more you move to the left of the spectrum, my left of the spectrum, which is one ride, the more expensive per kilometer
for sure
that cost is going to be.
For sure.
Right? And the more to the right you move, the more less middlemen are involved. The cheaper it's going to be
in the long term
per kilometer.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Just per kilometer. Yeah.
Just per kilometer, because I mean, if you just use Uber, you're going to travel the same amount as you do when you own your own car. So mobility as a service kind of fits somewhere in the middle of that.
And where do most people, in terms of amount of people, let's say everyone needs mobility, period. Where would you say most customers sit?
Most customers sit on this end, on the ownership end. That's just the traditional world.
Yeah.
That's the way the world's been built. But I'm talking about cost. So from a cost point of view, call it cost per kilometer. Mobility as a service fits in the middle, yeah. So at the moment, you've got banks that finance cars, customers that buy cars for cash. Mm. That's kind of pure ownership, right? And then a little bit more to the left of that, you've got the rent-to-own models.
Yeah.
It's where you can go, you can't, and that's for customers who have bad credit records, can't get finance, don't want finance, etc. So that's the rent to own. So ultimately, you're renting the vehicle, but there's an ownership handover
at the very end of the
contract. Okay. That is more expensive than pure ownership.
Mm.
Okay. But there's a segment of customers there, consumers, that would need that sort of service because they need mobility. It's cheaper than an Uber, but it's more expensive than outright ownership. But they can't get outright ownership because they're not getting approved by the bank.
100%.
And then you move a little bit more to the left of rent to own and you get renting or
leasing.
Leasing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, not leasing as in a lease where you actually own it. Like pure leasing. You can give the car back. No questions asked. The renter insures the car. The renter...
sometimes even maintenance is taken care
of. No, they maintain the car. Yeah. I mean, I suppose there's going to be different models that emerge. But all of the things around the asset itself is taken care of by the owner of the car, which is the renter. Mm. You just use it.
100%.
Okay? That's going to be more expensive than the rent to own, more than likely.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll come close. Or maybe it'll even be the same, but it's definitely has to be more expensive than
outright ownership. Yeah.
Okay. Because with outright ownership, you're going directly to the source of finance.
Yeah.
And maybe this model can get closer to outright ownership, depending on the scale that the service providers can offer over time. This is car subscriptions now. Yeah, car subscriptions.
Yeah,
yeah, it's car. I mean, we're about to launch car subscriptions with various partners. So, so you'll be able to search on Autotrader for by monthly payment, and in that monthly payment, you'll see, you know, car subscriptions or rental.
So that's what I was kind of alluding to. Obviously, I think it was just really important for us to understand exactly what car subscriptions is, because I did some digging to see what are the, you know, kind of the pros and cons of either. And in South Africa, it's not really something that's been around for very long.
No.
But we've seen car subscriptions and services as a whole kind of growing into that space.
It's grown. I mean, it's grown worldwide, but it's still not the lion's share.
For sure.
And whether it will be the lion's share is debatable. It looked like it pre-COVID.
Mm.
And then the world turned around and your car became a safe place.
Mm, 100%.
You know, I don't know if you remember us having the discussion around people not Ubering anymore because they might get COVID.
Exactly. I think there are solutions though where car subscriptions does make a lot of sense. Even a scenario where you'd want to, you know, kind of, let's say it's not a credit issue that you have. Let's say, for instance, you
short-term rental.
Exactly. Let's say you, or even if you in the country for a year, for instance,
makes sense.
On work. That's where these sort of services make a lot of sense, where you don't want to necessarily own.
Well, you want to be able to get out of the vehicle very quickly.
Yeah, but you also don't. At the same time, you don't want to do the whole one ride.
Yes.
Uber example.
So it might not be a cost factor. It might just be a convenience factor.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think that's kind of it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm seeing now that a lot of OEMs are even jumping onto, or manufacturers are jumping onto, offering some sort of car subscription service.
Well, the ultimate car subscription service is going to be with self-driving cars, right? Mm. Robo taxis.
Yeah.
Where you will be the renter, and then it'll fragment the market even more and bring the cost even further down, right? Is if I owned a Tesla that can self-drive, and I come to work, I park in the basement, but somebody wants a ride from X to Y.
Whilst
I'm at work, and I can make some money out of that, send the car.
Send the car, yeah.
I think that's the ultimate kind of perfect model.
Mm.
Is the robo-taxi. Whether that's possible in the future or not, who knows?
Toyota has just recently launched, I think it's called, Kinto, one-pay use packages. And most, when you look at subscription services across the board, on average, you're paying about 30% more than if you had to go outright ownership over the...
Well, that's on that spectrum, right?
On that spectrum, yes. Exactly that. However, they found a way where it's almost the same. Very select vehicles, of course. But, I mean, I think that's where the
well, that's coming direct from the OEM, right? Yes. Okay, so that's
a big difference.
So for me, that's the big, exactly. Yeah. There's no middlemen. Because you remember, if the manufacturer, in this case you're saying Toyota, if Toyota can provide the capital funding,
exactly,
provide the vehicle, of course they can cut the margin.
Yeah, they don't need to make the profits of, you know, kind of buying the vehicle first.
I mean, if you think about it, most of the businesses that are going to offer this are either going to fund it through capital funding, through shareholder funding, or they're going to fund it through bank finance, right? All of that carries a capital cost, and
which the manufacturer doesn't have to kind of deal with
which,
at all.
Exactly. So the manufacturer doesn't have to do that. At the moment, the bank repo rate has gone up 0.5%. I don't know what it's on now. I think it's like
11.5.
That's the prime rate.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about the repo rate. Oh, but anyway, the prime rate's 11 point whatever. But, so maybe a company can get primeless one, maybe primeless 1.5. So right out the gate, they might not be able to get a better capital structure than what you can get as a consumer.
I remember having a discussion with, I think it's the CEO of like Flex Club or something, one of these car subscription services.
And well, Flex Club is a platform, right? It's a software platform, whereas Planet 42 and We Rent Wheels are car subscription services. That's the difference between the two.
He says that one of the biggest people who kind of, one of his biggest clients ultimately are big businesses. So businesses such as what's called funeral homes, for instance, where you need a lot of vehicles, but you don't necessarily want to buy, the entire fleet. So you kind of get it from them and then boom. But with car subscriptions, which is where the one-to-one kind of B2C, that's where it makes a lot of sense. And I think that's kind of the...
I think C2C is where the cost is going to come down.
Exactly, yeah.
So where I rent my vehicle to you. Else. Yes.
You may be onto something there. You might be ahead of the curve. But let's see what happens. And do you know when car subscriptions is launching on sites?
I don't want to put a date to it because, software engineering is not it's not an exact science all the time. So, but definitely it's imminent.
Why did AutoTrader decide to go down this? Why are we embarking on this?
Well, we're a consumer platform at the end of the day, there's this growing need for the usage of vehicles rather than the ownership of vehicles.
Yeah.
It's not the lion's share, so we'll never, we're not going to change the front end of the platform to away from its default, which is search by make, model, variant, list the cars by its selling price. But definitely there is a place and a segment in the market that where the consumer wants to rent a car.
Yeah.
And as you know, we launched search by monthly payment about a year ago.
Yeah, just about, yeah.
And this fits squarely into that, but now with a product offering.
100%.
Whereas the search by monthly payment was really just a finance calculator, whereas this is now a proper product offering. So we've got our dealerships on board, we've got partners on board, and we're gonna test this thing out for the next couple of months.
We've been talking about it for a few years now, so I'm glad to see that, there's enough people now who actually want to.
It's been done around the world, so it's kind of a no brainer. It's like price ratings.
Yeah.
South Africa is often a bit of a lags a little bit.
Yeah.
And we just got to be bold and take these things on.
100%. I mean, I'll keep your eye out. So that feature is definitely going to be coming on soon. When? But we'll
it's imminent. It's imminent.
100%. Moving on. So, I don't know if you know this, but the sales numbers for new energy vehicles just came out recently. And like you had predicted a while back, it is still growing. Mm. And hybrid vehicles seem to be the one that's pushing that lever. Do you think that's going to change anytime soon? Do you think that's just kind of, the way South Africa is right now?
We've been saying probably for about, since COVID actually.
Two and a half years,
maybe a bit more. We've been saying that hybrid vehicles is the middle step to battery electric.
Mm.
Why is that? Two reasons. One.
Always price, right? That's always going to be the...
Well, I was going to go to government policy, because that's driving the price up is government policy. So government policy is nowhere near to being addressed yet. Mm. Hopefully there's some meetings happening that kind of supersedes my statement, but we've got a green paper, no white paper. Mm. All of the corporate players in the market are talking about this, putting pressure on the government. Hopefully there's something that gets done in the near future. So that's the one hurdle is the price of the vehicle is being absolutely stymied by government policy.
Yeah.
It's way too expensive to import electric vehicles, and it puts the consumer out of the price bracket of under 500,000 rand.
Mm.
Maybe a Chinese vehicle will come in.
Mm.
GWM, I don't know.
You're speaking specific to electric vehicles.
Yes, I'm. Yeah. And the other thing that's kind of causing this middle step is the nervousness, I think, of consumers around load shedding and our power issues. And where that's going in the future. So I think until those two things get sorted out, hybrids are going to be the thing. And we can see it in the Toyota Cross. I mean, that thing is flying off the shelf, literally. If it was a dinky car, it'd been unleft.
It is. I mean, we're anticipating that the Haval was going to be the kind of, the secret weapon. But right now, it seems like the Toyota Cross is something
Toyota is a trusted brand, eh?
100%.
Although Tesla has just overtaken Toyota worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide. I saw that. Mm. That blew my mind. I don't know how they've done it, but they've done it again. That shocked me. I didn't think Corolla Cross was ever... I mean, the Corolla was ever going to be kind of, taken from the number one spot.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise there. Oh. There is a new cheapest electric vehicle coming soon in South Africa, though. It's just going to be about 716,000. So it's still above that price, but it's fully electric. And I think that might kind of change things a little bit.
716 is still too high.
Yeah.
Sure. We've been saying for a long time under 500, I would say even less than that. If you think about the average South African driver, personally, I think the batteries are too big in the cars, and that's what's pushing the cost up. I use 20% of my iPACE's battery on a daily basis, which means that realistically I need 20% of 90 kilowatts. I need maybe 20 kilowatts a day.
Yeah.
If that was a 50 kilowatt car, it'd be fine.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what the...
Not for long distance, though.
No, I think the max range is about 400Ks.
But 400Ks is still... I don't get 400Ks in my iPACE.
Exactly, yeah.
So again, 716, could it be lower? Maybe if the battery was smaller.
100%. Well, before I leave you, we've received two questions from Ask Auto Trader, which I hope you can help me with. So the first one comes from Baby Boo, who's asked, I'm currently... Baby Boo, yes. I'm currently under car debt review. But they want to trade in the vehicle. Can they do so?
I think not, because part of the debt review, to my knowledge, is that it's attached to the asset.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to get rid of the car, you'd have to settle the debt.
Yeah, okay. But obviously, I think there's people who can assist you with getting, based off your exact scenario, what you can do around that. Next is DJ. I have a question from DJ, who's asked, does Auto Trader offer...
That's a rent-to-own candidate right there.
DJ has asked, does Auto Trader have lay-bys on second-hand cars?
Well, DJ.
Yes.
DJ, Auto Trader doesn't sell cars. Mm. Auto Trader is a platform to connect buyers and sellers of cars. So the short answer is no. But... you may find a dealer that allows you to put a lay-by on a car, and they may keep it for you. You just got to find which dealers those are. I've not seen any.
Yeah, I didn't even know you can lay-by cars. This is I don't know if there's an opportunity there. But
yeah, I've never seen any, but you never know.
100%.
You never know. I mean, if a car's 150 grand and you say to the dealer, I'll put 50 grand down, I'll pay you 50 grand over the next 2 months, but you keep the car.
You keep the car, yeah.
Yeah.
Charge you to hold it.
Yeah, he'll probably charge you to hold it, but the D is definitely not going to give you the car to drive.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much all the time we have for today. Thank you so much again, George, for joining us. And see you guys next week.
What's the next race?
Spain.
Spain! Yeah. Oh, go Alonso.
Ah, man.
Search Auto Trader.